Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and let's wrap up tonight's show with a little bit of talk about politics and the biggest issue facing America, the war in Iraq. So, U.S. Ambassador Crocker is urging the State Department to give immigration visas for all Iraqis working for the U.S. They're afraid that a lot of them are leaving the country, and the U.S. is losing good employees because they're not convinced that when we leave, we'll support them. They know what happened when we left Vietnam. We left a lot of people behind who are our allies that got killed, and they don't want that to happen. The other thing that happened last week we haven't talked about really was the fact that we had the Republicans filibustered the Democratic bill on Iraq and refused to allow it to come up for a vote. And so the Democrats withdrew it, and they aren't going to try and force a war vote now. They can't because the Republicans won't allow it. And we had an NIE come out last week, a new national intelligence estimate on Iraq. And what's interesting is the way both sides played this, meaning the right and the left, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Bush administration, and the Bush critics. Because in general, it seems to me that what it said was it put the rationale for the war in Iraq on shakier ground. You know, Bush gave a speech about 3 weeks ago in which he, 2 weeks ago, in which he invoked the name of Al-Qaeda 21 times. And he has said in more than once in the recent past that Al-Qaeda in Iraq, these are the same people that attacked us on 9/11. No, they're not, Mr. President. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is made up of Sunnis and some foreign fighters, mostly from Saudi Arabia. But Al-Qaeda in Iraq didn't exist until we went into Iraq. We're responsible for creating Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Had we not gone in, they wouldn't be there. And those people that are radicalized may not have been radicalized. Meanwhile, Osama bin Laden is still in, we believe, Pakistan. And now we got an interesting problem there because Pakistan struck a deal with the warlords in their mountainous areas and where we believe Osama bin Laden is. And they struck a peace deal and said, we're not going to go up there into the mountains and go after you anymore. And for 10 months, they gave them safe haven. And so Al-Qaeda has reformed. The NIE has changed dramatically. The U.S. report on this, the best of all our intelligence agencies, now says that they've got significant gains in Pakistan, meaning in the mountains. They've reformed. They've got camps. They're training fighters, suicide bombers, whatever. And they've actually attacked troops in Pakistan, so the ceasefire is off. And now Musharraf has a chance to go in and take on some of these people, and the U.S. is hoping they will. In fact, the U.S. has rattled its saber a little, and we've said maybe we'll go in. And, of course, Musharraf and his deputies say, you know, this isn't helpful. We're trying to keep the lid on things here. Because the other thing going on in Pakistan is that Musharraf has been clamping down. You remember, he overthrew a democratically elected government and, as a military leader, became both the president and the head of the military and has held those posts for 8 years. And despite our push for democracy around the world, we're not pushing for it in Pakistan because we like having a strong man who's on our side. The problem is that Musharraf has gotten a little greedy, and so a couple of years, in the last 2 years, he dismissed a judge who ruled against him and said he was going to have to share power more. And so he got rid of the guy. Well, the Supreme Court of Pakistan just reinstated the guy in the last week. And so there's a lot of pressure on Musharraf, and it's unclear how well he'll be able to hold on to power, which brings us to a couple of problems. One is that we need Pakistan to go after Al-Qaeda because, see, we do not go into the country of our friends. we're willing to overrun the country of our enemies if they don't have nukes, like Afghanistan and Iraq. But we are not willing, and we're even talking about going into Iran, at least the Bush administration is, and Bill the Bloody Crystal is talking about it. But we are not seriously considering going into Pakistan because they're an ally. We use police methods in those cases. Now, we're given logistical support, satellite support and all. We might even offer them cruise missiles or drones. We might fire them at them if we can help, I suppose. But right now, we need Musharraf to go after Osama bin Laden, because it'd be a shame if President Bush leaves office and after 7 years, never gets Osama bin Laden, which, you know, he promised us he would. But the second thing is, Pakistan has nukes. And were that country to fall, were Musharraf to fall, we might get another strongman, but we might get anarchy. We might get a religious government. And they got nukes, so it's a bit of a problem. Anyway, the NIE said that Al-Qaeda gained in Iraq, in Pakistan, and they've got a safe haven there. But also, of course, it talks about the fact that there's Al-Qaeda in Iraq as well. And, of course, the Bush administration, in the person of Homeland Security Advisor Francis Townsend, basically makes the connection and says, see, we have to fight them there so they don't follow us here. Well, there's not a lot of evidence that the fighters in Iraq are going to follow us here if we leave. That being said, there isn't a lot of adult talk out there about what's going to happen when we go to leave, because there is no good plan for what happens. We don't really know how to deal with the bloodshed. If we leave now, there's going to be bloodshed in Iraq. If we leave in 5 years, there's going to be bloodshed in Iraq. It's unclear how much of it that there's going to be. David Brooks floated a number over the weekend of 10,000 Iraqis killed a month, would be willing to trade 125 Americans killed a month to prevent 10,000 Iraqis' deaths. And Bob Woodward stopped him and said, where'd you get that number? And he admitted he just made it up. So we don't know how much violence there'd be, but there's going to be violence when we leave. What's interesting is that the way the conversation is going is all people are saying is that there's going to be violence. We don't really know. And so what's interesting about the way the Bush administration's argument has evolved is they used to say we have to restore democracy, we have to have stability. Now, that was the reason to be there, was to make sure something good happened. Now they're saying we can't leave because something bad will happen. We don't know, you know, what the problem is, but we know it'll be a disaster if we leave. Well, these people have been wrong about just about everything. We don't know for sure it'll be a disaster, meaning that it'll be worse than if we leave in 5 years. This is where regional powers come in. And we need to get both sides, the countries that support Sunnis, like Saudi Arabia, other Arab and Muslim countries in the Middle East, and the ones that support Shia, like Iran, and convince them that it's in their interest to limit the bloodshed when we leave. So we'll have to see what comes of all that, but it's not clear that we got any kind of a solution on the horizon. And I guess that's the way it's been for months. So there was a Democratic debate tonight. It'll be interesting to see if they spent any time talking about it. But regardless, we're going to have to move on, and we will be back next week. And next week, I'm sure we'll have this problem solved. In any case, you can listen to the podcast from The Andy Finn Show or read my blog items at andyfinn.us. That's andyfinn.us. And until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.